Well, this morning we're beginning the book of Galatians. So we mentioned last week we've done almost a year in the book of Acts. Now we're switching to Paul's letter to the churches in Galatia. And so if you would, turn to Galatians chapter 1. This morning we'll be looking at verses 1 through 5. And we are setting ourselves up or preparing for a look at this book. And so we'll introduce some of the themes. We'll talk about what's happening in the book of Galatians and why this is important to the church today. And so turn to Galatians chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. And I'm going to read this passage aloud. This is the word of God through the Apostle Paul to the churches in Galatia. Paul, an apostle, not from men nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers who are with me, to the churches of Galatia. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Would you please join me in prayer? Father in heaven, we thank you for this letter of Paul to the Galatians, but we thank you even more so that it's not simply a letter to the Galatians, but it is your word for your church. So we ask as we read the book of Galatians that you would work in our hearts as you magnify yourself and as you build us up. We pray that as we look at themes of grace and works, that you would move our hearts to rest and rely upon the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the finished work of Christ given for us that we might have peace. Make that real in our hearts by the work of your Spirit through this book of Galatians. We ask all of this in your name. Amen. I want to begin this morning by reading to you a quote. So let me read this first to you and I'll explain after I read it. There is no middle ground between Christian righteousness and works righteousness. There's no other alternative to Christian righteousness but works righteousness. If you do not build your confidence on the work of Christ, you must build your confidence on your own work. Then you're under the law and not under grace. And Christ is no Savior, but a lawgiver, and no longer our salvation, but an eternal despair. So, we should learn to speak the gospel to one's own heart. Those are the words of Martin Luther as he introduced this book of Galatians. This is his introduction to his commentary on the book of Galatians. And he rightly begins by giving the overwhelming or overarching themes of this book. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ given to us freely as opposed to the works that we believe in our hearts often justify ourselves. You see, this book is a letter of the Apostle Paul to the churches in Galatia, churches who were struggling, being plagued with the Pharisaical requirements of the law coming to them from Judaism. But more than that, this letter is not just for the churches in Galatia, but for the church today. For us who struggle with works righteousness, justifying ourselves by our own work, this letter is delivered to you, the church, that you might see the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ through this book. Now you might be wondering, how does the book of Galatians speak to me? What does it have to say for me in my life? The complexities of my own heart. How does Galatians apply to me? Well, let me ask you a few questions. Have you ever had a friend who was a Christian but then later walked away from the faith and utterly rejected Christianity? If so, the book of Galatians is for you. Have you ever said in your own heart how hard it is to work to be a Christian, how much energy it takes to be a Christian? Have you ever thought, I have a hard time being a Christian because Christianity is just full of hypocrites? Have you ever in your heart felt a sense of emptiness or despair or like you're living a facade or as if the Christian walk may not be real or lacked any assurance or peace in your hearts. If you've ever experienced that, then the book of Galatians is for you, because those things, those feelings and thoughts are born out of works righteousness. Those things are born out of a neatly packaged, easily deceiving works-based righteousness that parades around as the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, though it is the very opposite of the free offer of the gospel. You see, that is why Paul writes this letter to the Galatians. Paul writes to address the very natural inclination of the heart to justify oneself by works, by the works of the law. And so as we hear the words of Martin Luther this morning, we are reading the book of Galatians so that we might learn to speak the gospel to our hearts. That's what we're going to do each week. We're going to look at these chapters in Galatians, and we're going to speak the gospel to our own hearts. Speak the gospel to our own hearts every week. And so let's begin this morning speaking the gospel to our own hearts. As we look at the first five verses, we have two very simple points. Now, I know you're probably thinking, I thought there had to be 3 points to a sermon. Not always. We got to keep it short. We're outside, right? So 2 points, 2 basic points about the first five verses this morning. As Paul writes this letter to the Galatians, the very first thing that we see is that Paul is addressing a problem. There is a problem in the church, the churches in Galatia. And there's nothing new. Every time Paul writes a letter, there's a problem. So Paul addresses this problem. We see this morning in the first few verses the problem that was festering in the churches of Galatia. Look with me at the first 2 verses. Paul, an apostle, not from men nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers who are with me, to the churches of Galatia. This is Paul's introduction to himself. It may not be familiar to you because we don't write letters like this anymore, but the Apostle Paul was very accustomed to writing letters like this. You open any one of Paul's epistles and you will see the first line that says, Paul, an apostle, Paul, a servant of the Lord Jesus. He's introducing himself to the Galatian churches, but there's something very unique about Paul's introduction of himself. It's actually a very lengthy introduction. Paul's second lengthiest introduction only to the letter to the Romans. Paul spends more than a few words explaining who he is. Now, why does he do that? Why not simply introduce himself as the apostle or the servant of the Lord? You see, it speaks very much about what was happening in the Galatian church. As we read Paul's introduction of himself, we actually can begin to deconstruct what was happening in the churches of Galatia. So let me give you the background just briefly. I want to call your attention back to the book we just read, the book of Acts. You remember the book of Acts? We can divide the book of Acts really into 2 parts. The halfway point of the book of Acts is Acts 15. It's the Jerusalem Council. Before Acts 15 is the early church, Peter and the apostles, the conversion of the apostle Paul, and then Paul's first missionary journey. Now you might be thinking, I mix up all Paul's missionary journeys. What was the first one? The first one was the simplest one. Paul with Barnabas. They go to the island of Crete and then to Asia Minor. They don't get more than 300 miles away from Antioch. And in Asia Minor, they go to Lystra and Derbe and Iconium and Antioch Pisidia. Those places, Asia Minor, also known as Galatia. Those are the churches of Galatia, the Galatian churches. Paul's second missionary journey comes after Acts 15. Paul goes all the way to Greece. And you remember, he doesn't go with Barnabas. They've had a division now. And so he ventures there with Luke and with Titus. And as they venture to Greece, they go across the parts of northern Asia Minor, northern Galatia, and there they also plant churches. And so Paul has gone all across the province of Galatia planting churches, and he has left those churches largely to themselves. And he writes this letter years later to the churches in Galatia. But there's one thing you have to know about the Galatian churches. Of all the epistles that the Apostle Paul writes, the churches in Galatia are the most influenced by Judaism. Of all the letters that Paul writes to Ephesus and Philippi and Corinth, the churches in Galatia are most influenced by Judaism because of their proximity to Jerusalem, because of the overwhelming population of Jewish people in Galatia. And so they're influenced by Judaism. And what happened was that Paul had planted churches in Galatia, and then he had left, and the Judaizers had come into the church. And you know what they began to say? They taught the churches in Galatia that the Apostle Paul was a false teacher. As a matter of fact, Paul wasn't even a disciple of Christ at all. He had never seen Jesus in the flesh. He had learned from men, and he was mistaken, because he spoke about this salvation by faith alone. But the reality of the matter, so they taught, was that faith and works together justified the believer. And so they called the Galatian churches back to the yoke or the burden of the law. And the Galatians for years now had been living under the law. They sought to justify themselves. But you know what they found? That there was no peace in the law. That there was no satisfaction. That they were being left empty. And so you see this morning why the Apostle Paul introduces himself in this way. He says, Paul, an apostle, but not from men nor through man, but through the Lord Jesus Christ. And he also adds there, as he introduces himself, and all the brothers who are with me. The people who had infiltrated the Galatian churches had been teaching that the other apostles, they were right, that James and Peter, they spoke more about the law. Now, they were wrong about James and Peter and the other apostles, but they said that Paul was contrary to the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Paul sort of wittingly says, I greet you and all the brothers who are with me. We're in this together. We have the same message. We proclaim the same gospel to you. You see, that's a part of the problem that was facing the Galatian churches. But I tell you the truth, it wasn't the biggest problem in Galatia. There were bigger problems. As we read this letter from Paul to the Galatian churches, we will see one of the biggest problems that faced the Galatian churches. And we see it here this morning in verses 3 and 4. Because in verse 3, the Apostle Paul says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age according to the will of our God and Father. You see, Paul begins, and what is his very first word to the Galatian churches? Grace. He introduces himself, and then he begins with the word grace. Grace to you. Now, you may not be familiar with that phrase because we don't use that today. It's not common language. Grace to you, grace to you, grace to you. Not many of us speak like that. The Apostle Paul, though, if you were to look at every one of his epistles, you will find the same exact phrase in every epistle. As he introduces himself, he says to every church that he writes to, grace to you. And what Paul means as he says grace to you is very simple. He is declaring aloud his prayer for the people of these churches. May the Lord God be gracious to you through these words that I write to you. As I proclaim to you the word of God, may he work through this to bring grace to bear on your hearts. And so to the churches of Galatia, he says, as I declare to you the righteousness of Christ, may God be gracious. May he pour out grace upon you. Now I submit to you this morning, as we look at verse 3, what we begin to realize is that this really exposes the great problem with the churches in Galatia. It exposes the great problem in our own hearts. We seek to justify ourselves by works of the law. Churches in Galatia seeking to justify themselves by works of the law. We hope in our own works. We are obsessed with active obedience to the law. We are terrified by the imperfections of our obedience to the law. This is what we mean by working or trying to be Christian. This is what we mean as we look around us and we say, well, the church is full of hypocrites. It's our enforcing the works of the law, not even upon our own hearts, but upon the hearts of those around us. We live by works. And you see, all the while we know at the core of our being that we cannot be justified by works of the law. And so I would submit to you this morning, that is one of the most peaceless places to be. It lacks any peace. You think about this, to live a life where we seek to justify ourselves by our own works, all the while knowing that we cannot be justified by works. That's a really empty existence, isn't it? there is no assurance, there's no hope, that lacks any peace or contentment. And so Paul speaks to the Galatians and says, grace to you. Now, I would imagine that the Christians in the churches of Galatia, as they read this letter, they must have been saying, hallelujah. Thank you, Paul, because for years we've lived with a lack of peace under the burden of the law, but now we see that we have received grace through the Lord Jesus Christ, and we have peace, and we have hope, and we have assurance. So the first question I want to ask you this morning is, Christian, do you have peace? Christian, do you have peace in your own heart? When the winds of the world beat against you and the waves of suffering and turmoil crash against you, do you have peace in your own hearts? Do you have assurance in the Lord Jesus Christ, confidence in the hope of the gospel? You see, I think we often struggle with this because of the very intricate and small and hidden ways that we live according to works righteousness. We struggle with that peace. Think about all the ways it manifests in our lives, our moralism, as we look around and we judge others because they're not as we think they ought to be, or they're not as we think we are. That's the moralism we judge others with. What about our perspectives on sin? We think if we can just work hard enough to conquer our sin, to be good and right, that God's gonna accept us. Life is gonna be good when we just do enough and live right enough that God will be okay with us. What about the way we judge others, the way we bicker easily, the way we gossip, the way we tried to live the letter of the law but not the spirit of the law? What about the way we feel about ourselves when we're doing pretty good and we pat ourselves on the back because compared to the people around us, we're kind of gracious and we're really good neighbors and we kind of are really generous. So we pat ourselves on the back. All of that is the fruit or the manifestation of trying to live according to the works of the law. It is a works-based righteousness, and all of that will leave you without peace. If you've ever sensed those things in your heart, you know you don't have peace through those things. You know that they will leave you peaceless, but Paul says grace to you, dear brothers and sisters, from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age. Grace to you. Grace to you through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now you see, that's the problem. That's the problem that Paul writes to address. We will see that problem throughout the book, throughout this letter to the Galatians. But you might be wondering as a Christian, okay, I understand that I've been saved by grace through faith, by the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I understand that I do not justify myself by works, but how do I keep from slipping into that constant battle with falling back into justification by work? Justification by work. How do I prevent from doing that? Well, there will be a number of things the Apostle Paul speaks about in this letter, but let me highlight one this morning that we see in the first five verses that is so subtle. And it can be often overlooked, but it's here in this passage. One of the things that the Apostle Paul will prescribe for the church is worship. It's worship. He will speak often over and over again in this letter about worship, about fixing our attention, not on our own selves at all, either in glory or in pity, but fixing our attention on another, on the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, here's how this works in the life of the Christian, and here's why worship is such an important remedy for the heart of the believer. You see, in the Christian life, we often realize that we have sin in our hearts, and we often do one of two things, okay? We want to stop sinning, and so we move to attack the sin, to destroy it, and one of two things happens. Either we do pretty well with it, and we think, wow, we're pretty good. We've got a good grasp on the sin, or we struggle with it and we fail and we think, what despair we're in. We'll never conquer this sin. I can't do it. I will not justify myself. But you see, those two mindsets, they lead to either the arrogance of the Christian or the depression of the Christian. But nonetheless, they lead us to focusing on ourselves. And before long in the Christian walk, we realize that we've become introspective and focused only on ourselves. And we say, okay, I've got to focus less on myself. Let me start focusing outward on others and other things. And so we begin the work of focusing less on ourselves and more on others. And before too long, we realize we're spending so much energy focusing on not focusing on ourselves. Okay, I know you've experienced this before. And before too long, it leads to legalism. And we say, okay, now that we've focused too much on not focusing on ourselves, we've got to deny ourselves. And we've got to stop enjoying the things of life and give away more. And we've got to deny ourselves more and more. And this becomes a work of the law. And we find out pretty soon that all of this, no matter where we're at in the process, it leads to burnout and frustration and discontentment and heartburn and a lack of peace and turmoil in the heart of the Christian. And so what's the Christian to do? Well, what does Paul propose? He proposes something very simple in verse 5. You see, look at verse 5. As he's speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ, in verse 4 he says, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Now that's something peculiar, isn't it? Paul is introducing himself and he kind of just pauses for a second to praise God. It's like a sidebar, a parenthetical statement of worship, as if Paul was saying, hey, greetings, guys. I want to introduce myself. My name is Paul. Grace and peace to you. And oh, by the way, give me a second to praise the Lord. Let me just step away and praise the Lord. But you see, it's not a parenthetical statement of Paul. It's actually Paul's main prescription for the Galatian churches, that their hearts would be moved to worship the Lord God. The actual wooden Greek translation of this verse says, our Father God, to whom be all the glory, to the ages of the ages. Amen. To whom be all the glory, to the ages of the ages. Amen. What's the Christian to do with the ever-present temptation to revert to works of the law for our hope? How can we not be so consumed with our own unrighteousness or our own perceptions of how righteous we can be? We focus our attention on the righteousness of another. We fix our attention on one who has been righteous for us, who has lived according to God's perfect law, blamelessly on our behalf. We fix our eyes on worship of the Lord. You see, Galatians is unique for many reasons. But one of the things that you'll see as we read this letter is that Paul never ever reflects in the book of Galatians. He never reflects on the moral successes or failures of the Galatians. You pick up other letters and you'll find this. He speaks about, for instance, the Corinthians, who were just filled with corruption in the church, and he addresses it often. He speaks in his letter to the Philippians about how well they're dealing with suffering. But he never does that in this letter to the Galatians, because he's so focused on worshiping the one who is righteous. He's so fixated on the Lord Jesus Christ that he never addresses any of the Galatians' moral successes or failures. He wants them not to think of their work, but rather to think of the Lord Jesus Christ in worship. As we come to a conclusion on this passage this morning, I tried to think of the ways that this practically would speak to you this week. And I have to tell you, I experienced one of those ways that just this past week in my own life. And I'll tell you this in sort of a kind of funny story. Many months ago, I told you that I don't do social media, and I truly don't do social media. Okay. But about a month ago, I downloaded the Facebook app on my phone. And before you think, okay, Brian's gonna start posting on Facebook and liking our posts, I'm not, because I still don't do that. But I downloaded the Facebook app because we're in the middle of a pandemic and we're trying to figure out how to communicate with our church well. And so somebody suggested, hey, you should get on the Mercy Facebook page. And so I became, just this past month, an administrator on the Facebook page of Mercy. Now, I don't know what that means or what power that gives me. But I downloaded the Facebook app. All that to say, for the last month, this is like my first real diving into Facebook. And I've hated it. I know that most of you would probably resonate. I've hated it. You get on Facebook and you read and it's depressing and it's sad and it's sin-filled and the conversations and the attacks one to another, it's sad. It's terrible. But one of the things that I was reflecting on this past week is Facebook is this microcosm of the world we live in, because one of the things that's happening on every conversation in Facebook is just a bunch of people living by a works-based righteousness, comparing their works to the other works, comparing their worldview of how we ought to live and what we ought to do to the others, judging others because of it, thinking themselves more righteous than the other, looking down upon the other, speaking their own opinions according to their works. And as I thought about how we all live naturally according to this works-based righteousness, would you imagine how much would change in our everyday life if we were not living by works-based righteousness, but living in an act of constant worship to the living God? Would you imagine how much this would change your everyday life? You see, because as Paul speaks about worship in the book of Galatians, he speaks about it like this. The bigger the Lord God comes to us, becomes to us, the more he fills our vision, the smaller we become. And the heart that lives by works has a very high view of self and sees great division between me and them and between I and you. But the heart that is committed to worship of the living God sees the Lord God bigger and bigger and begins to see the division between you and I is less and less and less and less, till the heart that is consumed with worship only sees one division, the division between God and us, the division between perfect righteousness and holiness and truth and love, and between those who fail miserably at it and who need grace. The heart that is consumed with worship sees the world differently, sees our brothers and sisters differently, sees our community differently. And so the Apostle Paul will exhort the Galatian church, when they struggle with the works of the law, seeking to justify themselves, Paul will exhort them to worship God, to consume their hearts with worshiping the living God. When we live lives of worship, we live in the shadow of God's grace, and we give no foothold to the lies of Satan by the works of the law. So this morning, I leave you with this. The message to the Galatians is the message for you and I. Focus not on your works to satisfy your conscience, but focus instead on the one who by his grace has saved you, who by his work has satisfied the law, who offers freely to you perfect righteousness because he himself was righteous. And as Luther said, let us learn to speak the gospel to our hearts. Let us exhort one another to speak the gospel to our hearts. Let us encourage one another, speaking the gospel to our hearts. And so as you speak the gospel to your hearts this morning, speak these verses that we've just read from Paul's introduction to this letter to the Galatians. Grace to you, Mercy Presbyterian Church. And peace to you, Mercy Presbyterian Church, from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory to the ages of all the ages. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you and we praise your name this morning. Lord, we desire to worship you, and so help us to glorify your holy name. We love you, Lord, not because we naturally love you, but even though our hearts were mired in sin and rebellion, we love you because you first loved us and gave yourself for us and lived righteously and died the death we deserve to die, that we might be freed by grace and not by works of the law. And so help us to live in this grace. Help us as we struggle with our own justification. Help us simply to come before your throne and worship you. And as we worship you, may you become bigger. May we become smaller. May we see more of you and less of ourselves. That we would see your righteousness as our hope and our peace. We love you. We thank you. It is in your name we pray. Amen.